Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to Undisputed, live from Los Angeles. I'm Jen Hale here with at least Shannon Sharp. Yeah. Good morning, everybody, and we have a mystery guest.
Skip's not here today.
Where's Skip?
I'm someone else. Skip's sick today.
What?
He said he couldn't come in after what happened last night, so he's not going to be in for today's show.
Was it the flu, stomach ache, heartache?
It's cowboy flu. It's going around in Cowboy Nation. Everybody's got it.
Skip, I got something for you today. You like that, Skip, right there?
I don't know what it is.
This right here is Hennessy sent me a limited edition. They only made 70 bottles of Hennessy. This is bottle number 39. I was so certain that the Cowboys were going to lose, I went and bought a pair of red bottoms to match my display, to match my pants. That's how certain I was they were going to lose last night.
Somebody gave you those.
No, they didn't. How you doing today?
Well, I guess I got to suck it up and I got to take my medicine. So it's enough of that.
Come on, Skip.
I should throw these, but... Okay, let's do this, Chef Shay.
How you doing, Skip?
What are you going to serve up today?
It's a beautiful day in the restaurant. A beautiful day in the restaurant.
Emotions are riding high this morning, if you can't tell. We have plenty to get to today. Will Patrick Mahomes get revenge against Tom Brady and the Patriots on Sunday? Plus, can Lamar Jackson and the Ravens keep on rolling in Buffalo? First, though... I'm sorry, Skip, we are going to dive deep into that Cowboys-Bears game from last night. It was another test and another loss for the Cowboys. After jumping out to a 7-point lead, the Bears took it to Dallas by putting up 24 unanswered. Dak and the Cowboys rallied late, 17 points in the fourth quarter, but too little, too late. Dallas falls to 6-7 on the season, but the Cowboys do still remain in first place in their division. Shannon, will the Cowboys you saw last night be able to win the NFC East?
The Cowboys that I saw last night, Skip, they might not win another game if they play like that. Skip, that was abysmal. That was very, very disappointing, considering Jerry's tried some of everything to turn this thing around. Skip, if you look at the Cowboys, it seems like the last 2 weeks, the first 15, let's say first 15, 20 plays are scripted. Now, last night, what we saw, Skip, that was the longest drive in terms of yard, as far as plays and time of possession that someone has scored on an opening drive.
I think it's in the last 15 NFL seasons.
Let that sink in. So what was it? It's like 17 plays, almost 9 minutes. And after that, they did absolutely nothing. So what it tells me is that they have a great game plan because the team has an idea of what they think because they stripped they scripted the plays, but after that, Skip, they don't make any adjustments.
Yep.
We saw that. Now, this is the second week in a row we've seen this, Skip.
That is true.
They open up against Buffalo, great drive, go right down the field.
Yep.
They open up against last night against the Bears, they go right down the field.
They did.
The defense goes to the sideline, makes adjustment. It seems like Kellen Moore does not make adjustments. And boom. And this is what we got, Skip. That was very disappointing considering all the talk. Remember, Skip, it got chippy at practice. There's a lot of chippiness going on. There was a lot of pushing and talking. And Dak said, we had done enough of talking. Well, Dak maybe need to do some more talking. We're going to talk about him a little later. Skip, it's Lazarus Cooper. I mean, Amari Cooper. Because 1 minute he's on the sideline, he's like, oh. I can't make it. And then he runs.
He's kicking his foot up in the air like, oh, my foot.
You saw that too, huh?
My foot.
You saw that too, huh?
I came up lame, man. I can't go.
You saw that. The first half, one reception, 15 yards in the first half. Second half, 5 for 68. And we know all of a sudden he's playing really well. Skip, this is I'm so disappointed in the Cowboys, Skip, because you know, maybe we need to stop this. Pro Football Focus, Skip Bayless, and all these other analysts. Stop saying the Cowboys are the most talented team. Because we already know talent alone does not win you a championship. Because what does that is telling me, okay, they might be talented, but they're not playing. There's a disconnect somewhere. And I told Jerry, you need to stop talking. Because they're not listening to you. You've already threatened to fire everybody. Then you put your arms around Jason and tell him that's your life, that's your football lifer. And now you're resolute. Skip. I told you this was happening. I said, you're not going to make the playoffs. The Eagles squandered an opportunity last week because they could have won last week, win this week, now they're in first place, but they didn't happen. They're going to tie you up this week. You guys are in a tailspin. The Rams are going to come and beat you. I'm telling you, I'm just going to go. The Rams are going to come and beat you. But where you messed up at, Skip, was the kickoff. When you went there, you weren't prepared to play that game. Mm. That's disappointing. That's what y'all put on TV, and I had to watch it. I loved every minute of it, though. But I had to watch that.
You probably turned up the sound.
No, I didn't turn up the sound, Skip. Yeah. I was like, ooh.
Okay, maybe you just turned up last night.
I did turn up. Me and old Johnny, our stage manager, going to hit that bottle after.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. They only made 70 of them, so I hope Johnny don't hit it too hard.
Well, we don't have a show tomorrow, so maybe you can get away with it.
Go ahead.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Today, I cannot fight back. But I am warning you, it ain't over.
No.
We still have a long way to go, especially when it comes to the NFC least. Because unfortunately or fortunately, somebody has to win this division.
Right.
And somebody's going to get a home playoff game by default. Somebody is going to be the lesser of two evils between Dallas and Philadelphia.
Two lessers.
Well, but somebody's going to be the lesser.
Right.
And you know who I think that somebody will still be. But I am here to admit publicly, I'm not in my right mind right now because I am so worn out from watching my team fail to take off. I keep waiting for the quote-unquote most talented team in the NFL, the team that every pregame show going into every game I watch, they all pick Dallas. It just goes across. Who you got? Dallas. It's Dallas.
We're the smart ones. Who do we pick?
Yeah.
The Bears.
Okay, we both picked the Bears.
Exactly. We smart.
But I keep waiting for that moment of ignition, that launch, that one defining moment in which they finally hit on all their many cylinders. And the NFL collectively sits back and says, uh-oh, here they come. I keep waiting for that moment.
Skip, you've had that the last 3 weeks. You've had national televised games.
I keep telling you, I'm on the edge of my seat, and then I'm finally on the floor waiting for that moment. And it's excruciating to me. And I'm worn thin. I'm worn down to the bone where I can't. I've tried every jinx breaker known to man. One of Ernestine's friends sent me a pair of cowboy socks, which I usually wouldn't wear. So last night I said, you know what? Maybe that's it. I'll try my cowboy socks. No. Last night, of all the games they played all year, was the most disappointing, frustrating, teeth-gnashing, hand-wringing display of the entire year to the point that I could barely watch the end of it because I did predict yesterday that the Bears would win simply because there's no urgency. There's no reason that you had to go win that game. It was not do or die.
Right.
Boy, Jason Garrett lit a fire under his team last night, didn't he? But I thought they would lose a close game. I didn't see that coming because you didn't see that coming.
No. I definitely thought it would be closer than that. That was total domination.
I did not see Mitchell Trubisky's offense scoring 24 unanswered points. Think about that. 24 unanswered after that opening drive. 24 unanswered points. And I did not see Dak Prescott's offense, number one in the NFL, after the opening drive, listen to this, go punt, missed field goal. Was that not predictable?
Yep.
Missed field goal, punt, and punt. Those are the next five possessions after that opening drive.
Right.
That was against a Bears defense, once vaunted, that was missing Roquan Smith, who went out early. Prince Amukamara couldn't go for the whole game.
Trevathan.
They didn't have Danny Trevathan, and they haven't had Akeem Hicks for a while.
Right.
So those are four really key pieces. Mm-hmm. Like, if I had to rank pieces on that defense outside of Khalil Mack,
right.
That might be my top five. Yeah. It might be.
Well,
right?
Hicks is two, Trevathan is three.
Yeah, I know. I got you. What an embarrassment that was.
It was.
So, I'm going to admit to you, did I lose some confidence in my team last night? You better believe I lost some confidence. But I still believe my team is better than the team you picked. I just believe Dallas is better than Philadelphia, the same Philadelphia that went to South Beach and face-planted in front of the Miami Dolphins. They had the easiest closing schedule in all of football, and they lost the easiest game on that closing schedule at Miami. And I am not going to be surprised if your Eagles, or Beagles as I call them, if they don't blow another game, either to the Giants and Eli, they got to play them twice, the Redskins at Washington, the Redskins have come alive with a little bit of a running game, or obviously December 22nd, Dallas at Philadelphia. I just, of all the things I trust, to your point, do I believe that my team will beat the Rams in 10 days? They got 10 days to get a little healthier for this game. Maybe to get Jeff Heath back. Maybe to get Leighton Van Der Esch back. Maybe to get Antoine Woods back if he's eligible to play. Maybe they would be a little healthier going into that game with this 10-day break, the mini bye. Do I believe that? No, I don't. I have no evidence. I have no logical reason to believe they're going to beat the Rams.
Right.
The Rams seem to come back to life at Arizona, and we'll see how they fare against Seattle.
Right.
But the point is, none of that matters. I'm going to say it again. It doesn't matter except for confidence and momentum. Again, traditionally in this league, you have to, as Coach Tom Landry used to preach to me, you have to streak, was his word. You have to streak through December. It's the only way to go win the Super Bowl. Right. You streak. You get on a Super Bowl roll.
Right.
Well, they're unrolling. They're falling backward.
Unraveling.
Okay, they are unraveling right before your very eyes. So what if they lost the game to the Rams, which I think they will? So that would mean they would have lost four straight, 5 of 6, and 8 of 11 going to Philadelphia for the big showdown game. Do I think they can dredge it back up and suddenly, is there a switch to flip inside that psyche? Yeah, I still believe there is one. They've always played pretty to very well at Philadelphia. They play very well within the division. They're still undefeated, believe it or not, in the division. Right. So do I believe that they can flip whatever that deep, dark switch is that's hidden down inside? Yeah, I do.
Yes, Skip, but you keep saying that you believe they can, but you had to be so disappointed because maybe for the first time all year, all of your phases were awful. Well, normally we see the offense play really well and the defense play bad. Okay. The defense play good, the offense play bad.
Well, I said it was the most frustrating game of the year, most disappointing.
Skip.
Look.
Mitchell Jackson looked good last night. I mean, Mitchell Trubisky. I thought I was thinking about Lamar Jackson. Trubisky.
You mean Lamar Trubisky? He's Lamar Trubisky. My defense turned him into Lamar Trubisky last night.
Skip, how do you let Lamar Jackson should be the only quarterback currently playing that can juke a DB out of his shoes. Mitchell Trubisky, I think it was Woods. Was that Woods?
Antoine Woods. I mean, Xavier
Woods. Xavier Woods.
Yeah.
Shook him out of his shoes, Skip.
He did. I thought he shook the whole secondary out of his shoes.
I'm like, really?
23 yards right through my heart.
But, Skip, we talked about him now. We didn't think, and I still don't think he has the kind of mobility that Josh Allen, but you have to pay him attention because he can.
He is somewhat athletic.
Yes.
And he's a big kid.
And what did he do? There are two occasions they had him on third down, and what did he do? He escaped the pocket and pick up 20 on one and pick up 7 on another, and it's a first down. Come on, Cowboy. Chris Richard. But you see, we blaming Jason Garrett. Now, we ain't gonna talk about the adjustments that the offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, did not make. We're not going to talk about how Chris Richard, Rod Marinelli, Skip, they tell you he's great. Warren Sapp, the great defensive line Hall of Fame from the Tampa Bay Bucks, swears by Rod Marinelli. What's going on with that defense, Skip? Come on now.
Last night, for the first time in my life, I actually missed Jeff Heath. I never thought I'd say those words. I missed Jeff Heath. I love you, Jeff. You're great.
No. You say
no.
You
he looks
it.
Like a Pro Bowler compared to what I saw out there last night. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, why am I clinging to whatever's left of my hope and my heart? I still love my quarterback. We're going to give him a letter grade in just a few minutes here. But he got off to not a good start, a great start.
Yes.
He converted 3 straight third and fairly longs. One was really long in the opening 17-play drive.
Yep.
And he closed with 2 great throws that I will talk about in a few minutes. In between, he flat out stunk. Because after they went 4 for 4 on third down in the opening drive, from there on they went 2 for 11, and he stunk. It was his most disappointing game of this season, in which his stats have been off the charts. And his final bottom line stats are still pretty good. He had another 300-yard passing game, but I'm going to give in today to you. A lot of garbage yards.
Yep, empty calories.
Yep. I'll go with garbage.
Empty.
But do you realize his receivers dropped 4 more balls last night? They are running away with the NFL lead in drops, the Dallas Cowboy receivers are. They are now 29th, are the Dallas Cowboy receivers, in yards after catch.
Yeah.
So he's not getting any help from his receivers either.
And a lot of yard after catch have to do with the accuracy in which you throw the guy.
Last night, you can make that case.
Doink it to him, Dak, mm-hmm. because you saw he was doinking the ball all over the field, mm-hmm. Skip Bayless. You saw right after the halftime, after the Bears went down and scored, he had Amari Cooper wide open and doinked it to him. Mm. He had a Randall Cobb open, whoop, 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 behind him.
Mm-hmm. I give you that. I just said he stunk until the last 4 or 5 minutes.
I didn't know the Cowboys had signed Nelson Aguilar.
Mm.
I mean, that was Michael Gallup.
Mm.
Yeah, he whoop, 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 whoop,
mm.
Butterfingers.
Michael Aguilar. Now, to your man, and I gave in to you on yesterday's show, and I said, okay, you've been pounding me like they're supposed to pound the rock.
Pounding the Zeke.
Run the football. Run the football. It's what they got to get back to doing.
Yep.
Go old school. Feed the beast.
Yep.
And so I said, okay, fine. 30 carries. Give it to him. Let's see what happens. And about 2/3 of the way through the second quarter, he finally broke loose. And he went 31 yards.
Right.
And it was a splash play. And it was his longest run of the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
It was Saquon-esque because it was his only big splash play of the night, except if it had been Saquon, he would have taken that to the house. To the house. Zeke doesn't have house burst anymore. And help me out, Mr. Sharp.
Yes.
After that play, that 31-yarder, and by the way, that was still, they only trailed 10-7 at
Correct.
That point. So from that point on, did Zeke impose his will on that defense the way he used to? Because there was a time where you could feed that beast and he would literally beat the defense into submission,
mm-hmm.
where they would be saying no mas by the fourth quarter, like, we don't want to tackle you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not what happened. After the 31-yarder, he had 8 more carries in the game for a grand total of 15 yards. That's 1.9 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
Not good enough.
Right.
In fact, he was the one who looked like he was worn out as opposed to wearing out the defense. And I'm going to get to that in a few minutes where we'll go deeper into how he looked worn out. But if you take away the 31-yarder from his grand total last night, that left 18 other carries for a grand total of 50 yards. That's 2.8 a pop. That's not good enough.
See what you do, but see, this is what you like to do. You like to say, well, if we take this long run from Zeke, and we take that away. He had 85 yards or whatever mm-hmm. he had, and if we take those away, mm-hmm. well, if you take up those garbage yards mm-hmm. from what Dak Prescott had at the end of the game, what do you got?
Dak. I'm talking about Zeke.
But you got to talk
I'm
about
I'm talking about establishing the run.
No.
I'm talking about imposing will.
Hold on.
Didn't happen.
No, what about, hold on. Pro Football Focus say that's the second most valuable player in all the league.
Mm-hmm.
When is he going to show his value?
Mm.
They ain't say nothing about Zeke was the second most valuable. They say Dak Prescott is the second most valuable player in the NFL.
A lot of those rankings have Zeke above Dak.
One didn't.
It didn't. I agree.
So when is he going to do his job?
I can't fight back today. I could for all the previous games. And
you
I still
fight back
say he
Buffalo.
Will. You know what? I bet he'll fight back at Philly.
Oh, my God. We're never going to talk about
it. Want to bet?
I got five cases.
I'll make it 10. I'll go 10.
No.
Yeah, I'm still hanging in with my quarterback.
Okay, you can hang in all you want to. But we got – no. He had an opportunity against New England. He had an opportunity against Buffalo. Mitchell Trubisky. Now he got Mitchell Trubisky. People thinking Mitchell Trubisky is a pro bowler.
Well, that wasn't his fault.
Yes, it is.
Fault. Nope. Shannon, you're going to have to swallow this at some point. Ezekiel Elliott is not who he used to be. Jerry dramatically overpaid him. He's not a $90 million running back.
How about this here? And at some point in time, you and others are going to have to admit Dak is not what you want him to be.
Okay, this team will go as far as he throws it.
Well, that ain't
this
very
is
far.
Dak Prescott's team.
It won't
this
be very
is
far.
A passing football
okay.
team. Every time they try to establish, run the football, says Eric Dickerson, says Shannon Sharp, the Hall of Famers, you got to run the ball. How? Show me. They try.
Okay, Skip.
And there are too many zeros and ones and minus twos.
Okay.
Zero,
okay.
one, minus
okay,
two.
Okay, Skip Bayless, I'm going to give you that. Score was 10-7. They ran Where is Dak doing all that passing when the score was 10-7? How did the score get to be 24-7 if Dak is what you say he is?
He had a bad night.
No. You can't have no bad night. Mm. You're the second most valuable player. When has Lamar Jackson had a bad night? When has Russell Wilson had a bad night?
Well, how about this? There's another guy who makes $100 million. Dak's still making like $400,000. The other guy who last year, I'm talking about, no, there's no D in law. It's Marcus Lawrence. It's not D Marcus. It's no D. He lost the D last night. DeMarcus Lawrence, this was a game, and Jerry Jones said after the game, he said, this was the game we had pointed to. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but his point was, we thought we were going to come up here against a good football team and show out like this was going to be our night to take off.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, if that's going to happen, then you have to have somebody as the driving force of your defense. You have to have a Khalil Mack who says, okay, I'm going to take this game over. I'm going to torment Mitch Trubisky. I'm going to sack fumble him. I'm going to strip him. I'm going to be all over him until he's flinching in the pocket. Guess what? DeMarcus Lawrence, I think he played last night, but I'm not sure about this because I'm looking at the numbers and he registered one solo, one assisted, no sacks, no quarterback hits, no tackles for losses. That's $100 million worth of Pro Bowl defensive end. Help me out. That's the game where, isn't that the one where you just take over? The Bears have struggled protecting him. Mm. Boy, they protected him last night.
Hey, I'm like that emoji.
Huh? One of those? Like that? Okay. So, and that brings me finally to my head coach.
No, Skip. See, you gonna put it off on him. Mm. Don't do that, Skip.
I'm gonna say it again. I'm not being 20-20 hindsight about this. After his second full season, back on ESPN, this is going back to his 2012 year in which he went another 8-8. I said, that's enough. He's not a head coach. You have to move on, Jerry. That was after 2012. That's how long ago I first said, he's not the answer.
Guy. Okay.
And after they lost at New England, and Jerry tried to light a fire because he lit him up after the game. That was as critical as Jerry's ever been of not only Jason, but of the whole coaching staff. I said, that's enough, Jerry. You need to do it now. Do it ahead of the Thursday game because time is running out. That hourglass, the last few sands are about to leak to the bottom, right? Yeah. And the point is, you need to somehow let somebody else try to light a fire by just changing the voice in the locker room. I don't care. Chris Richard, Ron Marinelli.
Did you see his defense?
Okay, it doesn't matter how the defense. You just need a different voice. You need a new shakeup dynamic. You need to have the locker room looking over shoulder like, damn, Jerry did that? He fired him?
Yeah.
Okay? And make a stretch run.
You ain't making no stretch run. Stop it.
What is the Einstein definition of insanity? It's doing something over and over, expecting a different result.
So Jerry's insane because he keep marching his butt down, making all these sound bites, and they keep loose catching these L's.
What does Jason Garrett say? What did he say after the game? I just do what I put my head down and we start preparing for the next game.
Yep.
It's the definition of insanity because there's no fire lit. There's no spark. He's not going to be a guy who's going to shake it up by a demotion or a promotion of some player.
Because you don't have that kind of. But I want you to tell me. You tell me that they win division titles. They went on this great run in spite of Jason. Win games in spite of Jason. If that's your guy, you tell me that he's the second most valuable player. You got all these all-stars. Skip, that defense, that offensive line last night gave up a sack with a three-man rush, and you got $60 million. Tyron Smith, one of the highest-paid left tackles. Your center, one of the highest-paid centers. Zach Martin, highest-paid right guard. And your right tackle is the highest-paid right tackle. And they gave up a sack to a three-man rush. But don't nobody say anything about Mark Colombo, who's the O-line coach. That defense couldn't tackle me, you, or Gene. Nobody's talking about Chris Richard and Mark Rod Marinelli. And after that first drive, what did the offense do? Jack, and nothing but nobody's mentioned Kellen Moore. Everybody's talking about Jason Garrett. All those guys, Jerry Jones hired, but nobody's taking responsibility. They dump it in a Red's lap. That's bull jive, and you know it.
It's not bull jive. It starts and finishes with that quote-unquote head coach.
It starts and finishes with that owner.
Okay, well, I'll buy that. I can't fire him, but I can get the
well, the Cowboys
fired.
Should start tanking and hopefully they can get a new owner. Start tanking. You tank for good, the best player, tank for the best owner.
I'm going to have the last laugh.
No, you ain't have no laugh.
I will. It's going to be the greatest story ever told. It's going to be a billion to one shot. They're going to lose to the Rams and go to Philly and win the division. That's what's going to happen. And you're going to sit over there, and you're going to have to put a disguise on. You're not going to want to show
next
up.
You're going to go to 20th Century Fox. Mm. You're going to go to the big movie studio and get this makeup. Because you're really going to be in disguise. No mercy.
Last night, Dak Prescott had over 300 yards through the air for the fourth time in the last five games. Unfortunately, all but 45 of those yards came while the Cowboys were trailing. Dak also threw a touchdown, but that did not come until the Cowboys were down 17 with less than 5 minutes left in the game. Shannon, what letter grade would you give Dak?
Come on, be objective for once
night?
In your life.
F.
Another F?
Wow. Yes, I wanted to give him an L. For last, least, lower, lack, lust.
At least give him a G or an H.
No, you know? He gets an F, Skip Bayless. You know he deserves it. Oh, doink it to him, Dak. Hmm. Yeah, every time I come over here, I talk, oh, walk it to him. You talk about limp it to him. You talk about bounce it to him. Yeah. And Wentz, W-I-N-C. I'm Wentz when he throw it.
You listen carefully.
Yeah, exactly. Now, oh, doink it to him, Dak. Had Amari Cooper to start when they first got the ball, Chicago goes down the field and scored open the second half. Dak got Amari wide open. Mm. What'd he do, Skip?
Missed him.
Must be thought Dak was Amari Cooper was like 2 feet tall, throwing the man at his shoes. And then the fourth down, Skip, he threw the ball to Zeke on the swing. Mm-hmm. Zeke don't even break stride.
Nope.
Head straight for the bench. Mm. That's your guy. Mm. Now, I'm trying to figure this out. Now, Pro Football Focus said, we talked about this yesterday, Jay. I don't know if you probably were traveling on your way here.
I listened to your podcast.
Oh, you did?
Thank you.
Okay. I
do. I appreciate that,
Jay. Way to go.
Catch back up.
The second, and Skip, he should have been first. The second most valuable player in the NFL, it's called war. Wins above replacement. You like that, Skip Bailey?
It's funny.
Here's the value last night. I'm trying to think. The second most valuable player was 10 of 22, 110 pass yards until the game was a blowout. Hmm. After the game became a blowout, he was 17 of 27 for 224 and a touchdown. Mm. He had only one meaningful drive. The first drive, he was 4 of 6 for 41 yards. Mm. Didn't convert another third down until the game was out of hand. Skip Bayless, he may not have lost the game, but he damn sure didn't help him win it, did he?
Is it my turn?
No, it's not your turn. Okay. F. Mm. And that's 3 weeks in a row, Skip Bayless. Your guy has gotten an F, and I want you to know he's failing this class. Mm. And so unless he does something, does some extra credit work, he going to flunk this class, Skip Bayless. Hey, he going to have to repeat.
Well, he flunked yours a long time ago. You gave him all Fs for 12 games and one A++ Detroit. Inexplicable. I don't get it.
You wanted me to hand out A's for beating the Dolphins and Washington and the Giants. I might have struck a C in there or a B here or there, but I didn't get. But these last 3 weeks, I just want you to know he's failing. Mm. Now, he's going to have to do some extracurricular work, extra credit work, or he have to cut some grass. He's going to have to do something to get some points.
Maybe Jerry could have a word with the teacher, right?
No.
Maybe he could a little something in the teacher's pocket.
No. I'm one of those teachers. I don't want to talk to the coach. I don't want to talk to the dean. I don't want to talk to anybody. He come to this class. You come to get this work. Because guess what? When I send you out there to the world, Skip, that's my resume. Mm-hmm. You're a reflection of me if I taught you. Well, who taught you history? Who taught you science? Who taught you this? Mr. Sharp. And he let you out of there with this, not knowing this? I can't do it, Skip. Mm. I can't. That's on my resume. Mm. I give this man an A or a B with that kind of performance. Huh. The game's out of hand. And Jerry Jones said it. Jerry Jones said after the game, don't let the final score. They beat us worse than what the final score would say. Now, that's what Jerry said.
He said it.
I don't know what else to say, Skip. F. Mm. Flunky.
Well, speaking of wins above replacement, at least Dak is better than Wentz's above replacement. Wentz's. Because Philly's about Wentz's above replacement. Because I wince when I watch like him throw it in the ground.
Like you tell me, this is not about Carson. Okay. This is not about walking to him. Yeah. We'll have our say about him on Monday.
You brought it up, and I finished it. My turn. I am going to give my quarterback an overall grade of C+. And the reason I'm going to give him a plus is for the start and the sensational finish to the night. Can we start with the start, please? In that 17 play, Longest drive in the last 15 NFL seasons, opening drive, 17 plays. He converts 3rd and 8, 3rd and 11, and 3rd and 3. If we could see those in order, please. Here we go. That's 3rd and 8. That's pretty good, I'd say. Here's 3rd and 11. This is hard, man. 3rd and 11, they bring the blitz, and that's a
right. And that ball's
shot.
Behind. The ball's behind.
Okay, but it was still into double coverage. He gets it to Blake Jarwin, or Shannon Jarwin, as I call him, and then he converts the 3rd and 3 with another nice throw. Those are hard throws on the opening drive against a fired-up Bears defense that still had Roquan Smith at that point. Mm-hmm. So I got to give him pretty high credit for that drive because that was a nice way to set the tone for the night. From there on, I told you he stunk for the longest time until kind of the middle of the third quarter when, after a turnover, he caught fire. And here he came. And we saw it. We need to see it one more time. The Santa drops down the chimney throw to Amari Cooper, as even the Hall of Famer tight end Shannon Sharp told me. This was a great throw, and I also give it a very good catch. But that was a late tone setter in which all of a sudden it gave this team some life it had not had. And by the way, little known fact from last night, would you believe that my quarterback, boy, I could watch that all day. I might go home and just watch it just to lift my spirits.
That's the only highlight.
I just want to get it on a loop at my house and just watch it all night. I'll tell Ernestine, we just got to watch this play over and over, and I'll feel better in a little while.
I was loopy last night after them things I had, Jim.
Really?
I was loopy.
Yeah, I'll bet. Little known fact about the fourth quarter last night.
What about it?
My quarterback threw for 224 yards in the fourth quarter. That is the most yards passing by any NFL quarterback in any fourth quarter in this whole NFL season. That's number one. That is not that easy to do.
Yes,
I don't care who you are.
Yes,
224 in the fourth, and we saw him do it last year against Philly. Remember that? He had 246 in the fourth quarter in overtime against Philly at home.
Yeah.
224 is hard to do. And guess what? It should have been much more. It could have been, I don't know how long this play was. It was probably, let me get the exact yards. It's at the end of the game, he's got a deep ball to a backup wide receiver named Cedric Wilson. It would have been 52 yards. This should have been a 52-yard touchdown. Tell me this isn't his best throw of the night. Look at this. He hits Cedric Wilson right in the hands. This is, you got to catch it. I know you're just the backup, but if he hangs on to that, he is going to score a touchdown, and it's going to be 31-28 with 27 seconds left.
Okay, it's 37-28. You're still losing.
No, 30. It would have been 31-28.
Yeah, but you're still going to lose.
Okay, but you got 27 seconds left for an onside kick. But what I'm saying is, if Cedric somehow hangs on, and God bless him, I'm knocking on wood for him because he hurt his knee on the play because he jammed it in the ground.
Yeah.
But again, do I expect him to? But you can't drop it in any sweeter than that. If he hangs on, that's 52 more yards. And I told you he had 224, so he would have had 276 yards in the fourth quarter. How outrageously great is that?
Skip.
And you gave him an F.
Yeah, Skip.
You gave him an
Skip.
F. How can you give him an F? I gave him a C plus.
Jen,
of the 224.
Okay, Jen, how many touchdowns did he throw for when the game was close?
One.
One, Skip.
Does the fourth quarter count?
Or yes.
You always dismiss the fourth quarter like it doesn't count.
Skip, stop playing.
I don't know. Back in your day, I know it was a long time ago, but maybe they didn't count the fourth quarter. I don't know.
So Dallas was still playing.
Today, they counted.
I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah.
So Chicago was playing in the fourth quarter the exact same way they was playing through the first three quarters defensively.
Well, you know what? I don't
it's
think
a simple yes or no.
Playing the same? Yeah, I think they were playing the same.
They were saying playing the same defense,
okay,
they're
not trying to double anybody. No, nobody doubles Amari anymore. Nobody's afraid of it.
What I'm saying, Skip Bayless, is that they're playing nothing cheap, nothing deep. Once you build a big lead.
Okay, so nothing deep is hard to pull off the throw to Amari and the throw to Cedric Wilson.
Skip, that's 27 yards.
Okay, which one?
The one that you said dropped down the chimney,
that
right?
That was 19.
Okay.
All right, but that was a single covered route.
Yeah, but I just want to know, why couldn't he do this through the first three quarters?
Okay, well, what I'm saying is he lost it for a while. He lost his accuracy. I think he lost his confidence. Jerry thinks he's trying to do too much. And again, is the contract hanging over his head? I think it's hanging over his head. Has it been a good strategy not to go ahead and make him made man?
Skip.
Yeah, maybe it's been a bad strategy.
Dak Prescott's going to lead the league in passing yards. How does Jerry Jones walk in there with Todd France, who's his agent, and say, all we got for you is $30 million, and that man led the league in passing yards?
Well, I got to tell you, right now it's advantage Jerry in negotiation.
I bet you it's not advantage Jerry.
I'll bet it is.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
I mean, what would Shannon Sharpe say?
No.
6-7.
No. No Cowboy has ever thrown for as many yards as I had. Mm-hmm. No Cowboy has had as many 400-yard seasons as I had. Mm-hmm. Now, you keep telling me I'm franchised. See, you say one thing to the media, and then you get behind these closed doors, and you try to lowball me. I ain't going for it.
Yeah, but who would Jerry Jones be listening to on Undisputed, me or you? You're in the Hall of Fame.
Skip.
You've given him Fs every game. Jerry's saying, thank you, Shannon Sharpe.
But here's the thing.
I'm going to take Shannon's grades in and say, Dak, here, I'm going to just slide him across the table.
This is what Skip
the Hall of Fame tight end gave you Fs seven times. Yeah.
He's able to, he ain't got no money. He ain't got no purse string. This is what Skip Bayless likes to do with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott answers the first 5 questions right on the test. And then he gets the next 25 answers wrong. Time has run out on you taking the test. He go ahead and fill it out anyway. I ain't counting that.
No, time has not run out.
Yes, it is.
See, there you go again. You're saying the fourth quarter doesn't count.
Skip.
What are you talking about?
Why couldn't he do? He had 3 questions. He had the first drive, it was excellent, exemplary. Mm-hmm. I just need to know, for the next 38 minutes, why couldn't he do that?
Because he's human and he had the most disappointing stretch of the whole year. I told you right out of the box today, that was his most disappointing performance. I give you that. But he bookended it with great and greater. Greater.
Huh?
224 that should have been 276?
Skip.
Wow. Cut it to 3128?
Let me give it to you in terms of monetarily. You make $10 million. You lose $100 million. And you make $50 million. What the hell have you got? You're still in the hole.
Mm.
You lost the game.
Mm.
That's my point.
Okay, but now you're doing like it's a single thing that you're doing, but you need some help. Your receivers dropped 4 balls in the game.
I need some help.
That doesn't apply to your analogy.
I need some help not to bounce it to me. Mm-hmm. He could have had more yards if he didn't skip it to Amari.
Okay.
He could have had more yards if he didn't throw it behind a Randall Cobb. He could have had more yards.
He had a mid-game slump. I give it to you. No. He just lost it for a while, and then he got it back. How many quarterbacks in this league can get that back? Not many, because they just go in the tank.
Because most quarterbacks, the most valuable quarterbacks, they ain't going to have them kind of game.
Mm.
Lamar Jackson, Russ, they don't have them kind of game. Mm.
Hey, bounce it to him. When he goes south, he goes completely south and stays south.
See what
you're
trying
to do? And he's going to the sideline like, I don't know what happened.
No.
I don't know.
Skip, bounce it to him has not been in the MVP discussion.
Mm.
Your guy has been in the MVP discussion.
Not according to you.
Pro Football Focus says he's the second most valuable.
Mm.
So how in the hell is the second most valuable player with war, wins above replacement, stinking it up like that?
224? You think that's stinking it up in the fourth quarter?
In the first 3 quarters, he had 110 passing yards.
Mm.
We got to leave it there. They got 10 days now to try to rebound
before they
LA Rams.
No mercy.
For the second Thursday in a row, the Cowboys suffered a disappointing loss. After losing at home on Thanksgiving to the Bills, Dallas came up short again in Chicago last night. The Cowboys gave up 24 unanswered points and failed to score for 2 straight quarters. Despite falling to 6-7, believe it or not, the Cowboys still remain in first in their division. We are now joined by former Cowboys cornerback Orlando Scandrick.
Uh-oh.
It has been an emotional morning here, I will warn you.
Yep.
Get you to weigh in, though. Do you still see the Cowboys winning the NFC East?
My heart? Definitely.
Head?
Ooh, it's tough. I mean, they ain't a good football team right now. They're not playing good football. I don't see any positives there. I see a lot of finger pointing from the top to the bottom.
Yeah, your guy.
So, your bottom line is Eagles are going to survive?
No.
No, you can't even speak those words.
Now you got your heart.
I don't think that they're a good football team either. They bring back Fitzmagic. We haven't seen Fitzmagic since.
But you know he good for one of those games a year.
Well, he used to be, and they just brought him back out of retirement.
They have a 14-point lead, and that's what
28-14.
What about the defense? You on that defense? You were talking about your team. You on the defense?
I think they are what they are, 5-7. Both these teams are what they are. One's 5-7, one's 6-7. You know, Dallas just has a little bit of advantage in my book because they got to win one game out of the next
three,
and then they got to win two, actually. I'm going to say two. They got to win two out of the next three, and one got to be against the Eagles. Anything can happen, but I found myself looking through these stats, and whew, it was ugly. I think that game could have – the score didn't indicate what was really going on in that game.
Mm. Okay. So – you played for Jason Garrett for a long time.
I did.
So you know him up close and personal, inside and out.
I do.
I do not think he is the emotional answer this team needs right now, because he can light no fires in that locker room.
I get it. I think his voice has become stale.
Yep.
It's become stoic. I think the message is, it's clear as day that it's not getting there. I think that it's wearing on him, his job security, week in and week out. I don't think that that's fair that he gets his job security assessed week in and week out, but that's the National Football League. It is what it is. But
so how good a football coach is Jason Garrett, in your opinion?
I think he's a good coach of men. A good football coach, I don't see it right now.
Hmm.
I mean, and you know, let's go bottom line.
Is he a good coach of men? I don't even see
I just think that, you know, he's a bottom line guy. He tries to keep things in perspective. And sometimes with the league moving so fast, I think you got to keep things in perspective. I mean, let's put it all in perspective. They 6-7 in first place still, but that's an ugly first place.
Okay, is he too much of a good cop?
I don't think so. But I think, how much control does he have? I think he wants to say that we're evaluating the kicker, and then
Jerry
comes out and says we're not. But then when I look at Brett Maher is his name, right?
Yep.
He's missed 10 kicks this year.
Nobody's missed 10 kicks. Nobody in the last 4 years.
And still employed.
Dan Bailey missed 10 kicks his last two seasons, mm-hmm. and one of them was an injured season. So at some point, you got to look at the top. And I don't think Garrett made that decision. It wasn't Garrett's decision to get rid of Dan. This team don't have an identity, though. You know, they pay a running back. You know, as much as I love Zeke, as much as we love Zeke, they pay a running back. And, you know, you look at that stat line, and it's 19 for 81. It's 4.3. Naturally, you're going to say, why don't they run the ball more? If you take out that 31-yard
game. Thank you. Thank you.
They're 18 for 50, 2.7. That's terrible.
2.8.
And terrible.
By the way, after the 31-yarder, his next eight carries went for a grand total of 15 yards. That's 1.9 a carry. So he didn't exactly impose his will on the defense.
I mean, but he got three people on him when he touched the ball every time. I mean, I think that it's they got a scheme deficiency. They're not being creative enough. I mean, whoever that falls on, whether it's Jason, whether it's Kellen, whether it's Jerry, mm-hmm. whether it's Dak, I don't know who calling the plays there.
Okay. So you know, and I know that there's some switch down in there that you have to flip as a group.
That switch broke right now. Well, they need to work on it.
I'm asking you, does it exist?
I don't know. I think this is Jason's strength right now. It's trying to keep things in perspective and keep like that laser-like focus. But I don't know if that message is getting through. Like, you look at them in the third quarter after giving up that last touchdown and going down 31-14, they look defeated.
Well, it's because the kicker then kicked the ball out of bounds.
I mean, I don't understand. I read a quote. He says, I thought I hit the ball well tonight. I'm going to put my head on the pillow, and I'm going to sleep well tonight. He misses a field goal that's totally kills him.
Mm-hmm. It killed him. Yeah.
And then they go and cut the lead.
Mm-hmm.
They make it, what did they make it, 14?
It was 24-14.
24-14, mm-hmm. and then he goes and he hits the ball out of bounds. They get
it
on a 48.
Can't do it.
Two first downs out of field goal range, yep. and they go down and they score.
In three plays, they scored.
This defense, man.
Yeah, talk about that. See, that's on Jason Garrett, but ain't nobody mentioned Chris Mishard. Ain't nobody mentioned Rod Marinelli.
I think, you know, I played for Rod, me personally, and I mean, he was a big alignment assignment technique guy, but I mean, you look at them, they missed a line.
Position.
They got no technique. Mm-mm. They're missing tackles. I mean, I guess you could say that the effort is there. I mean, the only thing I can say is, you know, they handed the keys over to Chris Richard, you know, and I think he was a great defensive back coach with Seattle, but I think it's a reason why Pete Carroll let him walk out that door.
Great defensive backs.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you got Earl and Sherman, yeah. Chancellor, I mean, and you got Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
And you got that D-line, that you got that defense. I mean, how hard is it to coach?
I think we now seeing the reason why Pete let him walk out the door.
Mm.
7-for-12, 58%, you're not going to beat anybody.
Mm.
No,
and it should have been better than that, because Miller dropped the easiest third down catch of the night.
So let's just say 8-for-12.
Okay.
That's awful. I mean, and then, man, 150 rushing yards? 150 plus rushing yards?
okay? He's probably a friend of yours, but DeMarcus Lawrence makes $100 million.
It's a whole lot of cash.
It's a whole lot of cash. He's being paid.
It's hard to sack the quarterback. You got to drag that cash back there to it. It's a, got that it's cash in your bag.
I think that his sack numbers are impacted by the fact that they can't stop the run. I can't remember the last time a Marinelli defense, but I can't even call this a Marinelli defense. This is a Chris Richard defense. I thought this was a problem last year. If you go back to the playoff game, this was the last time Ty Gurley ran up and down the field on anybody.
Yep.
Right.
Against
so
the Cowboys.
So the other little man.
CJ.
CJ.
Yep. Yeah, so they got some serious soul searching to do between now and the next 10 days. I don't even think it's health. I think it's soul searching. I think they need to look themselves in the mirror and decide what actually do we want to be. Like, what do we want to get out of this season? And I mean, I don't think it's a
lost
season.
They just want to get out of the season.
I mean, pack it in now. Give it up. Quit.
Did you not see New England? Did you not see Buffalo? Did you not see this performance last night? Skip, what happened? Did they lose 8 of the last 11? Five or six?
That would be if they lost to the Rams. They would go to Philly. We haven't lost eight of them.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. Yep. They're going to do that, Skip.
Okay.
You see, Dak Prescott, they open the game, and Skip loves to do this. They open the game, Dak's 4-6, 41 yards. They drive right down the field. 17.
4-4 on third down.
4-4 on third down. Mm-hmm. Almost 9 minutes. But for the next two quarters, he throws for 69 yards. Mm. Now, the game's out of hand, and he comes out and throws for 224. And then, but if you didn't watch the game last night, you look at Dak's stat lines like, man, this game was close. Boy, Dak was balling. No, he wasn't.
Mm.
No, he wasn't.
Wait, does the fourth quarter count?
I need somebody.
No, maybe it doesn't. I'm sorry. Do you know? Help me out on this.
It counts, but that stat line is real kinfolk Kurtish.
Yeah, oh, kinfolk Kurt. He know about kinfolk Kurt. He know about old kinfolk Kurt.
One of those.
Real.
See what Skip likes to see. What this is like in basketball. A team is blowing a team out. Guy get stat pad. Now, he hate when LeBron James play in the fourth quarter. Oh, he padding his stats.
Well, he's front running stat padding.
Yo guy right there padding his stats.
They got Atlanta down 25, and he's still pouring it on.
No, he wasn't.
You see my line? I had a triple-double.
Oh, what about that? Oh, Dak going to say, I threw for 334 on a touchdown.
Knowing Dak, I don't think even Dak is looking at that.
He doesn't care.
I don't think he's looking at that, but when you look at that offense, you look at this team, and I don't even see how they still got Jason Witten playing as many snaps as he
played. Ooh.
And I love Jason, but
you know
I mean,
what? Jason walking out on the field.
At what point, like, do you
go with Blake Jarwin and move it on?
You know what? I'll buy that.
Skip, Blake Jarwin could provide them so much more.
What Dak always says, and you can laugh at this, but Dak says he just might be the best athlete on our team. Now that's high praise for number 89.
I mean, I look at it, and it's just the offense is not innovative at all. Mm. It's no reads. It's they're playing 2001 football in 2019. Like, I mean, what am I paying my coaches for if you just going to line up and do the same thing over and over and over?
Well, Jerry hired him. Ask Jerry.
Mm. I mean, but he's tired of it. You know, he's tired of paying a coach to do the same thing over and over and over. And I think at this point, he's probably thinking, like, I'm not going to get a different result.
Is he tired of going down there and giving press conferences and pep talks and talking to the team?
I mean, that's just Jerry. I don't think he doesn't give pep talks to the team. I can count on my hands as many times as he gives pep talks.
I can count on one hand how many times in 14 years I heard an owner give me a pep talk.
Okay, I give you that. But I mean, when you own a team and when you own a billion-dollar organization, when you buy a billion-dollar organization, then you make those decisions.
Well, then you take that blame, then.
I think that he is taking
blame. No, he ain't taking no blame. Why are you wanting to fire Jason Garrett?
Something. You got to start from somewhere.
Exactly.
Can't fire himself.
The Cowboys tanking for a new owner. You ain't know that, did you?
So now we need a voice of reason to sum all this up, and this is the only voice of reason
okay,
I know
yeah,
at this
let
table,
you tell it.
Except for Jim, of course. Bottom line. I still believe in my quarterback. This team is going to go as far as Dak Prescott throws this team. I believe this team is a little better than Philadelphia. I will not be surprised if my Dallas Cowboys lose to the Rams. I'll probably pick the Rams unless something dramatically changes.
I would be surprised because if they lose to the Rams, that just shows you that they gave up.
Okay, gave up?
At some point, you got to push up.
But I'm going to remind you. They can still lose to the Rams, and all they need to do is flip that switch that's hidden somewhere down in there in their guts and go to Philly and beat the Eagles and come home and beat the Redskins, and they get a home playoff game. That's all they have to do, I believe they're going to do it.
I get it, but I think that the Philadelphia Eagles are a team that they live and thrive off of, like, having a chance and having hope, and that's what's keeping their season
going. Biggest thing is do we want to knock dollars out.
That's, I mean, what's keeping their season going is they got hope. Every time they lose a little bit of hope,
Dak, and I still won't Dak be surprised the Cowboys, if the Eagles lose one game to the Giants. One of those two. They got them twice.
I don't see it.
Flip the switch.
I don't
flip
see it.
Flip the switch. I remember my grandma used to say, boy, turn the lights on. I like, Granny, you know you ain't pay that bill. We ain't got no power. The lights ain't coming off. Y'all ain't got no power skill. It's over.
I'm not going to go that far.
Over.
I'm not going to go that far.
You know, O-V-A.
Landon Skandrick is going one side of the mouth and the other because
no. I think
Philly, Dallas.
No. I'm not going Philly. I wouldn't even go Philly.
You know he ain't going Philly.
But I'm going to be a realist. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be real with you. Just like how you.
But you can't disqualify the whole division. Somebody's going to win it.
When you look at 6-for-13 for 60 yards and 30 minutes of football,
that's your guy.
That's a demoralizing stat.
24 in the fourth quarter, the most any quarterback has thrown for the whole year in the fourth quarter.
Skip.
He will not quit. My quarterback won't quit.
See, you can say that with Tom Brady because he did that something like that in the Super Bowl and they come back and win.
Mm-hmm.
Your guy didn't come back and win.
Mm. His receivers dropped four passes.
Oh, my goodness.
His receivers now rank 29th in yards after catch.
I think right where you're going with this about the division between Dak and his receivers, that's the problem with the Dallas Cowboys.
That's the essence of it?
That's the problem because they're not playing complementary football. When they play good offense, they don't play good defense. When they play good defense, when they play good offense.
Now you've talked yourself back into Philly's going to win the
division. No. I don't think that. I think that Philly is just they're like a mess.
Okay.
I think that they don't even realize that.
Okay. Smallest mess?
The biggest.
Who is the smaller of the messes?
Dallas. I think Dallas is the smaller of the mess, and I still see them winning the division.
Thank you. We got it.
I still
stand
by that.
Next question. Thank you.
What about, we don't say nothing about Carson Wentz and his receiver. Aguilar can't catch anything.
Oh, Carson Wentz, I'll tell you one thing about him. When he got to throw over 42 passes, he about 2-14.
Yeah. Woo! All right, we got like that. No mercy. All right, according to Fox Bet, the Patriots are 3.5-point favorites against the visiting Chiefs on Sunday. KC, looking for some revenge after that AFC Championship loss last season. Orlando, you were on that Chiefs team last year. Who do you think wins this rematch?
I'm going to go with the Patriots. I'm going to go with them close. I'm going 31-28, 27.
Can that Brady offense score 31 points?
I think they can. I think that they can only because of turnovers. I think if they can get turnovers and get short fields, I think the Chiefs just rely so much on Patrick Mahomes. I think with Damian Williams being out, with the other Williams being out, and just being LeSean McCoy, great player, but he had a turnover waiting to happen. You know, he carried the ball like a loaf of bread.
Yep.
I just think the Patriots, they got a lot to prove. I think Tom is feeling it. I think they're back at home. They're back in their backyard. And I think they've come to the realization that if we don't get some home games in our backyard, this thing really over. This dynasty might be over.
Mm. Okay.
I took the Chiefs. I got a different score. I got the Chiefs 31-27 because I believe the Chiefs have the type of offense, especially from the quarterback and wide receiver position, to play with the Patriots defense. Now, the Patriots, the first time they played them, Skip, it was a shootout 43-40. They played a lot of cover two. Play maybe a little single high. They go to the championship game, and it's all cover zero, and it catches the Chiefs off guard in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Andy does a great job coming out in the second half, and you see they scored basically every time they got
the
ball.
Yep.
So now I think they've prepared for a little bit of everything. They've been a heavy zero team this year.
They're hanging their hat on it, living and dying by it.
But you saw what Deshaun Watson did with that cover zero. Well, you got a guy, I believe, that's a step above Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, boy. And those receivers, I don't know. Do you really want to play cover zero with Ty Hill and Hardman? Now, what they're probably going to do is that they'll probably take Gilmore and put him on Sammy Watkins. You got him. They're going to roll coverage to Tyreek. They're not playing zero coverage with Tyreek Hill on the field.
I agree.
Now what you going to do with Hardman? That's the question.
I think the X factor is really...
Kelce.
Yeah.
Kelce.
Trav is the X factor. I think that last year, they were able, with Sammy not really getting going, they were able to, late in the game, put Steph on Travis. I don't think they can do that this game because I just don't see who they put on Sammy. But I just think that the Patriots...
Can Stephon deal with Tyreek?
No, he don't want no part of him.
No!
That's not a good matchup. But I think this is where Bill gonna show why he is Bill Belichick, six-time Super Bowl champion. I think that he's gonna come out with something. It's gonna be a wrinkle. And, you know,
If they can't run the ball, you're going to play cover two or cover four. You trust your D-line. But the thing about
playing that cover four is you let Tyreek get in that slot and get a free run, and he going to run past both them quarter safeties. Mm.
Oh, yeah, he can eat it up.
Mm. So it's going to have to be some type of combination coverage, whether it's locking up Steph on Sammy and then rolling some coverage. Right. And, you know, you're just going to have to hope that you can get some pass rush and you can get Patrick to hold that ball and pat that ball, because if he get going, I'm going to have to eat my words.
Mm. Okay. So, I hope I don't have to eat my words, because before I pick my score, I just want to make this clear, because this man across from me will not buy into this. Tom Brady right now has the highest degree of difficulty of any contending quarterback.
Oh, boy, does he.
They have little to no running game to back him up with. They're 21st in rushing. He has no single weapon that scares any defensive coordinator, not one. And if you look at these numbers, just read these in Pro Football Focus, wide receivers who are lined up, anybody lined up wide.
Side of numbers.
Tom Brady has the lowest passer rating in the whole league to wideouts. Now, N'Keal Harry has showed little bits and pieces, but he got doghouse the other night after he didn't come hard on that route where it was about the fourth read across the ball, and it turned into an interception that helped turn that game around. So I don't even know if Brady trusts him anymore. So I can't really trust N'Keal Harry is going to be that guy. Inside the numbers, Brady's QB rating is 8th in the league because, obviously, it's Julian Edelman. Mm-hmm. Guess who leads this whole league in drops? Julian Edelman has 10 drops. It leads the league.
That's unlike Julian.
Okay, but he's had a history of some drop, more than you think that he does. Now, he'll make big catches at big moments, but he will drop balls. He dropped one 2 games ago against Dallas in the end zone, hit him right in the hands.
Right.
So they have the second most drops to Dallas, and he's got the first most drops of anybody. So think about Tom going into the game on his own confidence. Like, we can't run the ball. I don't really have N'Keal Harry to trust, and Julian drops balls.
But Skip, well, help me out with this. Now, last year in the playoffs, they averaged 162 yards a game. They ran everybody out of the building. Mm-hmm. Nobody mentioned the rushing attack. They said Tom Brady. Now they can't run the ball. They said Tom doesn't have any help. Now, the very people that says Tom doesn't have anybody to throw to said Julian Edelman's a Hall of Famer. Now, I need you to make up your mind. Mm-hmm. Either he's a Hall of Famer or he isn't. Skip Bayless, you said he's a Hall of Famer. He's second to Jerry Rice in catches, yards, and touchdowns. That's Hall of Famer.
Is this in the playoffs?
Hey, Skip Bayless said a man's a Hall of Famer. Either you're a Hall of Famer or you're not.
But
Shannon Sharp scoffed at Julian Edelman being in the Hall of Fame.
Yes!
So I'm going to take that to my bank today. So now it's like, boy, Tom's got no shot in this game today.
Huh?
Yeah.
Shannon,
you're in the Hall of Fame.
We get lost in this whole thing. Mm. It was a guy, stood about 6'7".
Ooh, thank you.
He wore number 87.
Yeah. Ooh.
Now it's a dude that's about your age, looks similar to you.
Yeah.
Wear number 84, he walking out
that's
there.
True.
that's true. I think that's the biggest difference.
But that's what I used to say this all the time. You don't realize how easy Gronk makes Tom Brady. Oh, no. What about all those Super Bowls he won before Gronk? I say Gronk is the most dominant offensive weapon that's a non-quarterback because there is no answer to him.
Oh.
You can't put a small guy on him because he's overpowering. Your linebackers can't run with him. You don't draft a linebacker that says, oh, I'm taking him in the first round because he can cover. You take guys in the first round that can get to your quarterback and they can thump. Mm-hmm. They're not coverage. They thump or they get to the quarterback. Well, there aren't any guys like that. So Gronk's gone now. And under pressure, Tom Brady has the worst QBR under pressure of any quarterback in the NFL.
Because he has nobody to throw to. Nobody can separate.
I think those hits is taking a toll on him. But, I mean, I'm not worried about Tom. He's a surgeon. That's what he just figures a way. I mean,
by the way,
he just figures a way.
Tight end as a collection, as a group, they have the lowest number of catches of any tight end group in the league.
But it shouldn't matter.
Astounding.
If Tom Brady can come out at pregame and point to the stands and say,
that's
I want those three
doing.
Guys from Dorchester, it shouldn't matter. Yeah. Those are NFL players.
He did that. He took Gunnar Olszewski right out of the stands and said, can you come catch balls for me?
That's what Aaron Rodgers did with Geronimo Allison.
Wait a second. No, this guy did. These are undrafted kids. Matt Lacoste, Ryan Izzo. You don't even know who they are, right?
Geronimo Allison's undrafted. Lazard is undrafted. Mm.
I really think you double dipping here. I think that's you out there.
What?
84?
No.
I think that's you.
I think that's Shay.
Being good for like one first down and another catch a game, Skip. Yeah. But what you expect to do 38 years old in the 16, 17 season? What'd you expect?
So, bottom line, I am with Orlando.
Yes.
I'm going to Orlando this weekend.
Okay. Remember last time he was here and gave you a pick?
You haven't won a pick with the Eagles since that game.
That's true. Ooh. So.
You might be right.
You might be right. This is Brady and Belichick at home in what's starting to feel like a must-win game for them to have any shot at home field.
I seriously think, like, all games are must-win in New England. You hear all this about, it's not fun playing up there. We wouldn't have any fun. But and then you just hear them say, we have fun and are winning. I think they get back to their winning ways.
Shannon
I think they
Sharp.
Send
yep, go ahead.
The Chiefs back to Kansas City. Mm. You figure it out, Andy. We'll see you along. We're going to be here.
Yeah. Okay.
Tom
We're
Brady
be here.
At home in the month of December in Foxborough, 35-4 at home in his regular season career, 120-18.
The most dominant offensive weapon that was having so much fun said, you know what, I'm going to take this year off. Mm. That's how much fun he was having. Mm. He's 6'7", 270 pounds, the most dominant offensive force. Mm. And he said, you know what, I'm going to take the year off.
I don't think he took the year off. I just think that he got to a point in his career where he wanted to move forward. But the train is still moving.
It's creeping along.
The train is
It's
moving.
Creeping along. You see it.
The train
you
is moving.
See what you see. Mm.
Always,
you see what you see.
Always early.
19th in QB.
That's fine.
29th in completion percentage. Mm. 26th in yard average yard distance on the throw.
Shannon,
yeah.
Let's go to the bottom line, though.
Yep. My bottom line.
Best record.
He the grand marshal in the parade. Mm. That defense carried him and you know it.
Oh, man.
How many games with a game in which the defense got handled? Baltimore and Houston. What did Tom Brady do?
Mm. I think that they were overmatched them two games.
What do you mean overmatched?
I think they were
Tom
overmatched.
Brady. That's Tom Brady.
No,
you can't overmatch Tom Brady.
Come on, we're not saying that he's Jesus.
That's what they say.
We're not saying he's Jesus.
They say he's Jesus with cleat.
The man is allowed to have an off day.
That was Michael Jordan. And that's it.
The man is allowed to have an off day. But until you dethrone him, just go ahead and shine his crown.
Hold on, wait a minute. Off days? What you mean? Hold on. I mean, when you beat the Giants and with Danny Dimes and you beat Luke Falk, come on. I need you to beat Deshaun. Mm. I need you to beat Lamar.
It's December time.
Mm. Oh.
It's December.
I forgot. December
1st. December.
So what was December 1st? That was Sunday, right?
It was Sunday, but now it's really it's December.
Oh, so it's real. So that's really, really December.
It's December in Gillette now.
Oh, December in December.
Gillette is December
1st ain't really December. You got to get like the 8th, the 15th, like that. Okay, I get you.
It's December in Gillette.
Bottom line, Tom Brady 27, Patrick Mahomes 24. Thank you very much.
Next my homeboy. My homeboy ain't going to let that happen.
The real bottom line is Tom Brady 3, Patrick Mahomes 0.
Ooh, that would be a bottom line.
Oh, you think
line.
So?
Wow.
Yes, okay.
It's already 2.
Yeah.
Man.
Mm-mm. Say 3's a crowd.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, the score prediction.
My homeboy did his job. If he could just get some defensive help.
Oh, God.
Can he get some defensive help? He gave you the lead. I just want to know one thing, because you happen to be there. Hold on just a second. Mm-hmm. When my homeboy stepped off the field, mm-hmm. were you guys losing or winning that game?
We was winning.
Okay, then what happened?
With the defense. We had D4 line up off sides, and, you know, that was all she wrote.
You said we. So that means
I was in the Chiefs.
Oh, okay. So that's what I'm talking about.
I was part of that. But, I mean, I watched the surgeon. I mean, I watched this guy.
Carve y'all up.
He's down.
After that man did what he did.
10 three times in a row. I'm a believer.
Mm, thank you.
I'm a witness.
Yep.
What my homeboy do?
Lost.
Yeah. Basically, turn to field. Y'all be ashamed of yourself.
Carry this L.
I just want to know who went to my homeboy lock and say, man, I'm sorry. I let you down. Who did that?
No, not me.
Why not? Because you was on there, let that man down.
It was a collective
effort. There wasn't no collective nothing.
Yes, it was.
Y'all cost that man a championship.
It was a collective effort.
Y'all should have went by his locker. You, D4, Chris Jones, Houston, Ragland, all y'all should have went by and shook his hand. Man, I'm sorry. I let you down.
I respectfully disagree.
No, I don't respectfully disagree.
Great stuff this morning, gentlemen. Orlando, we're sure are glad you were with us.
Thank you. No mercy.
The 49ers traveling to New Orleans to take on the Saints in what will be an epic matchup of two 10-win teams. The Saints have already clinched the NFC South, while the 49ers are now chasing the Seahawks in the NFC West. Shannon, what's the score of this one?
I'm taking the Saints 27-23. Skip, look, I think the 49ers are well coached. They got a very good defense. They can run the ball, and they got some quality receivers. But the weak link of this team, Skip, I still believe it's Jimmy Garoppolo and his turnovers. He's thrown, I think, 10 interceptions? Mm-mm. And he puts the ball on the ground or in harm's way at the most inopportune of times. And I believe he will be the ultimate reason they don't reach their ultimate destination. Mm. So I'm taking New Orleans in that building, 27-23 over the 49ers.
Jimmy G, the next Tom Brady.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. So I'm also going Saints, but I'm going convincingly. I'm going 31-20 because I still do not believe the Saints are generating the awe and respect they have earned at 10-2. They've been really good. And at home, that defense really starts to fly. And you know that building very well, that Thunderdome. And so I am going to go Drew Brees and that home crowd and the way that defense plays at home over Jimmy G. I agree with you on that. He will be the undoing of the visiting team.
Well, they better do something with can't guard Mike Thomas. Mm. Well, if you don't guard him, you got no chance of beating him because Drew would just throw him 25 balls. Mm. So, all right, Sherm, you might have to earn some frequent fly miles and travel.
Mm. Interesting. Good
gentlemen.
Matchup. You will not be at that game, right?
I will not. No. I will be in Jacksonville. Yeah, but okay. This was your best segment of the morning.
Oh, I know.
So intelligent. I'm impressed.
No mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Facts. Sports. One of one.